toward the end of the year, always, we tend to get closer to family. We tend to get closer in the events we do and things like that. The holidays have a lot to do with that. And into the new years, we tend to set our new goals and the things we'd like to look forward to and all these things that we'd like to plan out and do. But how do we go about those things? How do we approach those things? How do we think on those things? And really, where do those hopes and those dreams come from? And that's kind of what I'd like to take a look at today, if we could. If we could turn to Philippians, a very familiar passage, and chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we'll read starting at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have also always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray one more time. God and Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to get together in the name of your Son, to look to your word and reap the blessing that is poured out each time we look to your word. Father, we thank you so much for your Son's love that brought him down to this earth in flesh and took him to the very cross of Calvary. And we thank you so much that our salvation has been paid for. We thank you as we have this time, and we pray that everything that is spoken today would be from you, Father, that we would learn to live a life that is glorifying and pleasing. We pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians 2, and the portion we just read, speaks a lot about how we conduct ourselves one with another, and about how we must do so lovingly, and how we must do so the same way Christ showed us how to. And that brings an important question. How? How can we do that? How can we live like Christ? What is it that's going to remind us to be like Christ? We often talk about how forgetful we are. And there's very many reminders in the Word of God that show us how forgetful we are. When Christ said, "Remember me," he gave us very simple emblems, common everyday emblems, bread and wine. Many of the examples in the Word are common everyday things, exercise, running, friendship, all these things that we see every day. They're used to remind us, because we are forgetful. Going back real quickly to chapter 2 that we just read, verse 5 said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." When I read that, we're pointed to Christ immediately, and in everything we do, we should be pointing to Christ. We can gather together and have times together and support one another, but if it's not done for Christ, through Christ, it's in vain. And with that in mind, and thinking of how forgetful we are, I'd like to look back at our first love, the reason we even know what love is. If we look at 1 John, very familiar passage as well, 1 John 4 and verse 9, "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." We don't know love outside of God. We don't know love of our own selves. The world likes to tell us that we can love someone very much, and the world has its own ideas of love. We have our own ideas of love, but none of it is perfect. It's not a perfect love. We've seen perfect love in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I could talk about it. We can read about it. We can talk all day about it, but it never really comes close to what Christ did on that cross. That is true love. That being said, if we could go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And starting at verse 60. I'd like to just take a short time just to read this. Read this account. This morning we had a wonderful time dwelling on the love that was poured out for us. And really, there is no better way to put it than the way the Word of God states it. So let's read starting in verse 60, Mark 14 and verse 60. "And the high priest stood up in the midst and answered Jesus, saying, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?' But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, 'Are you Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, 'What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?' And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, 'Prophesy.' And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming herself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' And he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out to the porch, and the rooster crowed. And a servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by him, 'This is one of them.' But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.' Then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And when he thought about it, he wept. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And he answered and said to him, 'It is as you say.' And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, 'Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you.' But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, it was accustomed to release one prisoner to them, whoever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, 'Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?' For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he would rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them, What then do you want me to do with him who you call the King of the Jews? So they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said to them, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, Crucify him. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! Then they struck him on the head with a reed, and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he had come out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, The King of the Jews. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right hand and one on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, And he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking among themselves with the scribes said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, Look, he's calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that, he cried out like this and breathed his last. He said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. That is love. That is perfect love. That is true love. That's the love that we cannot give of ourselves. That's the love that the world can't provide. That's the love with which we need to do everything, looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. The verse continues, for the joy that was set before him. This was his joy. This was his joy. That is love that cannot be explained. We call it a marvelous mystery of love. And that's exactly what that is. And if we forget this, if we lose sight of this, all the other things don't matter. All the other plans and the commitments, the hopes, the goals, none of that matters if we lose sight of this. The Lord Jesus Christ, we just sang, came down to this earth as a child. In man. But this is why. This is where he was going. This is where Calvary is where he set his face as a flint toward. In Romans 5 and verse 8, it's a very familiar passage. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, we read, he was numbered with the transgressors. There's an old hymn we used to sing, If That Isn't Love. And the second verse states, Even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion. Then he bowed his head and died. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There are no stars in the sky and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. When we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, and as we had the privilege of remembering this morning as well, his love is something we could never deserve. And every day that we go about our business, we should be overwhelmed. How could we not be overwhelmed with that love? We're so forgetful that we often put to the side the fact that our every breath is a blessing and a gift from the Lord. Something we don't deserve, and in fact should be awaiting an eternal, painful suffering and punishment for our sin. Yet it hasn't been dealt to us. It hasn't been dealt to us because of what Christ did. Ephesians 2, if you turn to Ephesians 2, and verse 4, we'll read 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We were born into this world with sin. We sin every day. We're sinners by nature. This flesh is sinful. This world, this earth is cursed. It's sinful. We cannot get to a righteous God on our own. We can't earn our way. There's no scale that says, okay, well, you did this many good things and you did more than you did bad. A spot, a speck of imperfection cannot enter a perfect heaven, cannot be before a perfect God. It wouldn't be perfect. So it is not of ourselves. We cannot do a thing to earn it. Yet Jesus Christ came down from this earth, came from heaven to this earth. Spurgeon says a very interesting look at this love, and he says, to stimulate our love, let me remind you that Christ Jesus had two trials of his love, which he endured with firmness, but which are often too much for us to think of. When Christ was high and glorious, I marvel that he loved us then. But once again, what a trial of love was that when Christ began to suffer for us. He loved us to come down to this earth and loved us to go to the very cross of Calvary. Love we could not deserve or do anything to earn. I'd like to go back to Mark chapter 14, the passage that we read. Mark 14, and looking at verse 11. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate then answered to them, what then do you want me to do with him whom you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, crucify him. He did no wrong, but man wanted nothing to do with him. The response to what evil has he done? There's no response. It's just crucify him. It's blind hatred. We turned our back on a righteous God. Yet, after we read all that happens here in Mark, we're comforted in chapter 16. And we'll turn to chapter 16. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side. and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." He rose again. He rose again, and that defeated sin. He defeated death. We don't serve a Lord and Savior who died for us. We don't serve one who took our sins and was buried. We serve someone who took our sins, was buried, and rose again, defeating sin, death, and hell, defeating the curse. We can put our hope in a lot of things. We can put our trust and our faith in a lot of things. And they might be good things. They might not be bad things. But it's nothing if it's apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. It's nothing. Even the good things that we do is nothing apart from this. We're so forgetful, but we need to be reminded day after day. And that's why he gives us these simple reminders. Bread and wine. Common everyday objects. He gave his body and he spilt his blood. So we could talk about how we must conduct ourselves amongst one another. And we can do all these things, but if we forget our first love, we forget who showed us what love was, the author of love, our Lord and Jesus, who came to this earth, who went to the cross, who endured everything we just read about, humiliation, spitting, beating, mockery, and then death. Not even understanding the 3 hours of darkness and the separation between him and his Father. Not understanding what that burden of all the sins, past, present, and future, that each and every one of us have ever will commit. Taking that upon himself, we could never even come close to understanding that. And then giving up the ghost and breathing his last to the point where the centurion marveled, "Truly, this was the Son of God." If we forget that, then we can't move forward. We could turn very quickly to John 3. John 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." For anything to be done in God, you go right back to the Son and what he did on the cross. It states it clearly right here. We didn't love the light. We love darkness. That is our nature. We turn away from the light. It exposes everything that we do. There's nothing in us that merited salvation at all. Yet he gives it to us freely. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's better than anything we could hope to give to anybody. It's pure and simple. It's a gift. All you can do is take it. It is nothing of ourselves. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it." That is love. By all rights, we should have been condemned. Jabe Nicholson often says, "We don't have a God who operates on our rights. He doesn't give us our rights, because if he gave us our rights, we would be in hell. That by rights is what we deserve. And praise God for that. But again, all these things don't matter. And if anyone out there is without the love of the Savior and hasn't accepted that, nothing else matters. You need nothing else but this. The peace that passes understanding, that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's simple. It's so simple that we reject it. We feel like we need to work and earn and strive and do all these things. But it's not of ourselves. If it was any part of ourselves, it wouldn't be perfect. And it wouldn't be the gift of God. All we can do is accept what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross. Why he came 2,000 years ago to be born as a man in the first place. All of it points to the cross. And praise God that he rose again, because that seals it. He rose, but the sin stayed in the grave. He defeated sin, death, and hell. And it comes back. It comes back to what the centurion said. All we can say is truly this was the Son of God. It speaks for itself. We can expound upon it and talk about it all we want, but the simplicity is right here in the Word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what matters. If we lose sight of that, we have nothing. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son. We thank you for the love that brought him down from the glory of heaven to willingly take upon himself the form of a man and be born so humbly in a stable among the animals without a proper place to lay. Father, we thank you that he grew up and lived a life that was pleasing and perfect to you, Father, and not once did he turn away from the cross of Calvary. Not once did he step aside. Not once did he say, I'll destroy them instead. Father, we thank you so much that we have been given something we do not deserve, for a gift, an eternal gift that has been given to us. We thank you for the perfect love that Jesus Christ showed us on that cross. And Father, we thank you that he rose again. We thank you that he's not still in the grave, but as we read, the stone was rolled away. Thank you that he lives, and that every day we can taste the blessings that are given to us every single day, the very breath we breathe. We thank you so much that we aren't condemned as we deserve. Father, we pray that we would not lose sight of that love, our first love, the one who loved us first. We thank you so much for your word that clearly and simply shows us what we must do to be saved and how it is that it is not of ourselves, but it is the blood of Christ that washes our sins away. He paid the penalty, the perfect sacrifice paid the penalty. We thank you that we have this time to just look to you and look to your word and see how full of darkness we are. And oh, that would only make us love you more. We pray that we would not forget what was done for us on the cross of Calvary. And we thank you so much, and it's in his name, the name of Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.